This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. This half hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson. They are my intellectual property lawyers, and they should be yours. Well, at the bottom of the hour, I have a very, very special guest, Ricky Kleeman, who has been a guest on the program before, and she is a good friend to Joy on Paper. She is, of course, the author of one of my favorite books, Fairy Tales Can Come True, How a Driven Woman Changed Her Destiny, and I am an example of how fairy tales do come true, because just recently I celebrated the second anniversary of my radio program, and it's been just an exciting time for me to be able to talk to many of the people who have been on the program. I've been inviting them back to talk about what it was like to be on the program and also to talk about what they're up to since the last time we spoke. You know, the theme today is dreaming, planning, and doing the kind of job that you want to do. So I'm so happy that I have in the studio with me a local author, And she has brought in her book, which is very, we're going to talk about it. It's very cute. And so I just want to thank you so much, Carlene Tausig, for coming in today. And it's called, your book that you brought in is When I Grow Up, I Want to Be. But of course, you have other books and you have a nice webpage where all of your books are. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me today.
Well, Carlene, it's wonderful. And as I said, the theme here is doing what you want to do, having a job that makes you happy. And so you recently retired and you're writing now. You're going to write full time and get these books out. And you've already made a nice start. So tell us first about When I Grow Up, I Want to Be is a workbook that you have developed.
It is. It's very similar to a coloring book. So the kids can really design it to be the way they want. And let me give the listeners an idea of what it's like. From ages 6 through 18, there's a two-page spread. So for age 6, there's about 5 questions that kids can fill in and kind of journal about what they like to do, what they think they'd like to be when they grow up, and so on. How they like to play, where they like to play, different things like that, so that they can record their true skills and talents when they're small. And then this goes on through age 7, 8, and so on, all the way up to 18. Throughout the years, they're recording their achievements, things that people think that they're good at, things that people turn to them for help with, all these things, so that by the time it comes to making decisions about majors for college or vocational school or whatever, they have a solid record of their true strengths and talents, and they haven't forgotten those things from when they were little.
Well, I think this is an ideal gift for a child, and a gift that you would set aside a day, perhaps a birthday, perhaps, you know, you take a day of the year that's just something that you won't forget, maybe Valentine's Day or maybe Christmas, a day where the kid can just sit down and fill in that year's goals, that year's dreams, that year's ideas, and really make it something that you carry on through the years.
Exactly. And then every 3 years, there's a looking back section where they look back over those 3 years and summarize it and answer a few more questions.
Well, I think it's a lovely idea and a lovely gift that people can give. It's available on your webpage and on Amazon, and I'm sure you're going to be finding some locations here in the area where people can pick it up. It's really just perfect. It's for 6 to 12, mm-hmm. And if you get this book, it starts the child also understanding what their talents are. And now you, of course, you were in human resources for 15 years.
I was, yes.
And it's a job, mm-hmm. But it's so wonderful when I love to meet people who do dream of writing. And that's why I call this program Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And recently I had Johnny Clark in here, and he had been a postman and delivering mail for years and years. But all was in the back of his mind. He knew that he was going to write someday. Mm. And so he gets a bestseller. And, you know, it's all in keeping that dream alive. Even if you have to take time for the rest of life, you know, at certain points you have to make your living. But you don't have to give up on your dream. And I've met some people who, you know, they are now in their 60s and they're selling their books very nicely. And it's something to look forward to. So even if you're sort of not happy in your current job, it's something that you can think about, right?
Right, absolutely. I've been writing books for probably close to 10 years, but while working full-time. So there's only so much you can put into it, really. It takes a long time. So now that I've resigned from my position, I can hopefully give my books more momentum, more attention, get more on social media and share about them, things like that, as well as write more.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned that I read one of your books, and I think it's so cute. It's called My Room for Rent. And this is an example of things that happen to me all the time. Ever since I started this program 2 years ago, I get all of these threads of connections. Like I will be talking to somebody, and then I will discover that we once lived in the same town. Or I will be reading a book by an author who's I'm going to interview, and their opening scene is in a restaurant where I used to eat all the time. So all of these things, I love when I find all of these magical threads that sort of connect and are just being woven into an interesting tapestry. So just last week, I'm working on a program in which I'm going to discuss prologues. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people don't have prologues to their books nowadays. It's not as common. But there are some prologues that are just, I almost love the prologue better than the book. Clive Cussler's prologues for his books are amazing. They are like almost like mini stories in themselves. And when you read one of his prologues, you absolutely have to read the book. It's just amazing. And another one, Justin Scott writes prologues to his books. And Justin is going to be on next month to celebrate a big event in his life. So I like prologues. I've always thought of prologues sort of like that cherry on top of a ice cream sundae, something extra. You just get a little bit of extra. And every once in a while, I've started a book and I didn't read the prologue. And this years ago when I would sometimes skip the prologue, and then I go back and I say, oh, I have it. I'm not quite through with this book. So it's sort of a treat. And of course, you also have an epilogue. So
yes, I do. Well, that book needed a prologue because it's the story about a boy in sixth grade whose parents have separated. And so it's dealing with a lot of his sorrow about that separation, his anxiety, is it my fault, all those kind of things that kids feel in those situations. So I wanted to give people a heads up in that prologue that it turns out okay in the end, that it's a challenging story, but in the end he comes to terms.
Yeah, I thought it was just the perfect way to start the book. Mm-hmm. It was a good idea. And there are times when that prologue really is meaningful and helps the whole sort of view of the book. And I like that. And it's a great little book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, most of all my other books are fiction for children, mostly ages 9 to 12. So When I Grow Up, I Want to Be is really one of my first nonfiction for kids.
Nonfiction you know, it is so wonderful to be able to write for that age because we really have to encourage children to read.
Yes, absolutely. And that's my goal on my website. Right across the top, you say, my goal, to get kids to love reading. When I was young, I wanted to read every book in the children's section of the library.
Okay.
Of course, that goal was not met.
But
I was that zealous.
She is sitting next to the person who actually did read every book in the children's section.
Wow.
When I was young, and I'm from northern Michigan, and we didn't have any libraries up north. There was no such thing. And so when we moved to the city, and we moved to Highland Park, Michigan, which is really part of Detroit, I will never forget one of the most exciting days of my life. And my sister, my big sister, took me. She was holding my hand, and we walked up the sidewalk to McGregor Public Library. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those buildings built in the 30s, but WPA, big building, very beautiful, oak floors, mahogany fittings, one of those big double doors. I remember when the doors opened, there was a lobby, and then there was another set of double doors. Mm-hmm. And you just turned to the right, and there was this room, this gigantic room, in the middle of the room, they had one of those dollhouses that you could walk around.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Beautiful. And all along the walls, all the way around the room, were the books. And now, they knew how to build libraries in those days, because there was even a fireplace in this library.
Wow.
And there was a section for little kids off in the corner with little chairs and where the little kids could sit, and it was very comfortable. And the library had these enormous tall windows that they could open just a little bit. They could open them like 4 or 5 inches. And outside of the library, they had lilac trees. So in the springtime, when they'd open those windows, mm-hmm. you'd walk into that room. It would be so glorious. Mm-hmm. The smell of the lilacs and the books all the way around. And my sister and I started. Well, I started because my sister was older, and she snuck very quickly up into, she wasn't supposed to sneak into the section for adults.
Right.
But she was already reading at such a level that mm-hmm. the kids' books were too easy for her. But I started right there at the doorway where the A's started, and I went all the way around and read every single book.
Wow.
Which is why I've now read 10,000 books, because I get a little bit compulsive like that. But that's the joy of reading. And
correct.
That's what I really want to encourage parents and grandparents, and just to find that time where you make an effort to find places where you can just take your kids where they're nowadays, where their cell phones don't work, or where mm-hmm. Take them someplace, take them to the beach where you say put it away. You don't need a cell phone here, because you don't want to get sand in it.
Right.
And just read.
Yes.
Have those books available.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
So now, of course, with your books, just being able to touch that, the themes that are important to children, like in this book, with My Room for Rent,
mm-hmm.
it's a sensitive subject, but you handle it so beautifully, and I think it's so encouraging.
Thank you.
You know, and this is important. Mm-hmm. So, wow, mm-hmm. You have a wonderful, wonderful time ahead of you now that you've been able to, follow your dreams. And that's,
yes.
That's what all of us hope to do and want to do. And if you find yourself in a job that's not real fulfilling, do what Carlene did here, right on the side. Now, I'm going to be talking to several writers coming soon who just started, really, they followed sort of my idea. And I told them, been telling them for 2 years, write a page a day, and they have actually been writing a page a day, and they are sort of almost in shock, like they have a book.
Yes.
They really do, and of course, if you write a page a day and at the end you have a 360-page book, mm-hmm. it's not the end, it's a start, because you're going to probably rewrite
lots
that book.
Editing, yes.
Like,
of course.
And for another year, but it is a very fulfilling thing to do.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons that I wrote this particular book, When I Grow Up, is because Study after study shows that over 50% of Americans are dissatisfied, disengaged in their jobs, which is really a sad statistic. Some studies even show as high as 70% that are unhappy in their jobs. So when you think of the ramifications of that, road rage, the ramifications on their health, and then their kids are watching this. Oh, my parents are going to work and they're being miserable. So that's really why I wrote this book, so that perhaps we can have a new generation of kids that stay in touch with their true talents. You know, I'm a firm believer, having been in human resources for so long, that when you work in a job that's tied into your true strengths and your true talents and gifts, you're going to be happier and you're going to be more successful because you're doing a great job.
Well, you're right. And that's why I always encourage people to actually look at themselves and say, you know, if I have this ability, if I have something within me that I'm not challenged by my work, then you can challenge yourself with doing something a little extra on the side until mm-hmm. you reach retirement age, or you're very young, you got to retire retire a little early. And, you know, one of the things that people should do is really plan. Like, say you want to write books. Well, think about what type of book you want to write about. If you want to have books that, for example, are thrillers, maybe you want to take some classes that will help you when you're actually writing the books. Or if you want to write cozy mysteries, think about what will help your books when you write. Would it help that you know more about plants and you know, trees? Go and take classes. Take a class here, you know, at some of the local colleges. Take a class in I don't know, even beekeeping, because who knows when, like in A Gentleman in Moscow, you're going to want to write about bees. So you never know, and it's so helpful if you just learn things along the way. I know that one author that I met, and she's writing mysteries. And so she went and took a class at one of the local places to learn how to shoot a gun, because she wanted to write about it realistically. She did, you know, she said, I'm writing about shooting, but I've never touched a gun, and I just want to know. And so she took that class. So you add all of these little strings to your bow, things that you will help and enhance your writing. Because if you're only just dreaming about writing, but you're not actually working on sort of filling your mind with ideas, one of the things, of course, that you should do is read books. So even if you're just dreaming, for Carlene here worked for 15 years in HR, but if during those 15 years you read some good books, it really helps you to be ready to hone in on your skills.
Yes. And of course, writers groups are very, very helpful. A lot of times your local library will have a writers group, or there might be a writer's meetup. If you go to meetup.com and look, you can often find people. Many of them are beginners, but they can give you
valuable
feedback.
Oh, you learn so much. We have here in the area, we have one of the best, well, we have quite a number of meetup groups. That's an excellent idea. Bansu Branvik, who was in the studio 2 weeks ago, she has probably the best writers group that I've ever seen. Her group meets every other Tuesday, I believe, and you can find it on Meetup. And it is an amazing group of very encouraging people and very talented people. And you get to read one chapter every time you go, mm-hmm. if you sign up. And it really is helpful. And also, as we both know, libraries are a fantastic place to start. You can start with a reader's group. If you're not ready to start with the writer's group, start first with the reader's group, where you get together with other people who read good books, and it just opens your mind to what type of book people are going to be buying.
Right.
You know, that helps too, because you need to know the market. So, yeah, absolutely. This is a fantastic thing, and we have some wonderful, wonderful readers groups and writers groups in the area. I'm going to take a commercial break, and when I come back, I'm going to come back with Carlene, And then I'm going to also have Ricky Kleeman. So we'll be back in a few minutes.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
Mike is offering 50% off his 4-pack special.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-871-1543 and use the promo code PATSY, and Mike will offer you free shipping. Once again, that's 800-871-1543, promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my guest in the studio, Carlene Tausig. And we've been talking about her book, When I Grow Up, I Want to Be. And in a little while, we're going to have Ricky Kleeman on. But first, Carlene, I want to ask you, you have a webpage.
I do. It's CarleneT.com. And my first name is spelled K-A-R-L-E-E-N, T for Tausig.com.
It's a very good website, and you've got all your books there. And this book is just the ideal gift for grandparents to give their grandchildren. So
yes.
I would strongly recommend that you go to the website and buy the book. It's really, really a wonderful gift, a gift that's going to last many years. I think once the kids fill this in, they're 18, they're going to keep it, and they'll be looking at it when they're 30 and when they're 40 and 50, so many, many years later. So I think, Carlene, it's wonderful, and I love the way you spell. I love your name. I love Carlene.
Thank you.
Isn't that a pretty name?
My father's name is Carl, and I was the first child. So I got Carlene.
Well, that's perfect. It's absolutely great. Okay, and now I am so excited because we have my very, very special guest today, Ricky Kleeman. Hi, Ricky.
Hey, Patsy. How are you?
Oh, I'm so happy to have you on because today has been my theme has been follow your dream. And my first guest who's still in the studio with me is a wonderful woman who's written a little workbook called When I Grow Up, I Want to Be. And it's a workbook that you give to children, and every year they fill it in. And
great idea.
It's a great idea. And for someone like you, because boy, oh boy, have you followed your dream. And of course, you are the author of Fairy Tales Can Come True, How a Driven Woman Changed Her Destiny. And I know all of my listeners have, listened before when you were on, and they know that you are, of course, they've seen you on TV as a CBS News legal analyst, and they know, and I talk about you every once in a while on the program, because in my case, you know, I just celebrated the second anniversary of Joy on Paper, and in my case, and in your case, I think we have discovered that fairy tales do come true.
Indeed, they do, and they come true in ways you never anticipated which is why I like the idea of the workbook being revised, possibly, every year or whenever the time period is, because what you dream you can have or want to have as a child at 3, at 6, at 10, can change dramatically, not only at age 20, but again at 30, 40, 50, 60. And now we have a whole new world of people who are reinventing themselves over the age of 65, knowing that they have the potential to live to 80 or 90 in fully productive lives.
Exactly. And they need to have some hope. And I think your book, of course, has given a lot of women that hope and the belief that they could do it. And so tell us, for the listeners, tell us about the book and how that came about in the first place.
Well, the book Fairy Tales Can Come True is now a book you can get on Kindle. It is currently out of print, but it's fun on Kindle as well because it still has photographs. It came about through a series of years where various literary agents had come to me about writing a book of empowerment for women. And I really was not ready to do that until I saw an event in my life that made me feel I had something that I wanted to share that everyone else was not sharing. And in my case, it was really the beginning of the era, which today would seem commonplace, but at that time was not, which was really talking about a life in balance. That is, a life that had both professional and personal joy. And I had led a life, as many women have done, in one sphere, which was the professional. And I certainly derived a great deal of satisfaction, of fame, of excellence, and even joy from time to time in that life. But the truth was that my life was guided solely in the domain of work, and I think my personal life really was sacrificed. And in 1998, I really made a change by virtue of doing a lot of self-help work with authors and with speakers. I was a definite big-time follower of Tony Robbins, and I found that what was missing from my life was the experience of having a full personal life. And I had the good fortune at the age of 49 to 50 to run into a man who became my husband, and that was what inspired me to make a shift that I really felt it was important to tell women that it was not only okay, it was terrific to really find joy in your personal life, and as a result of that joy, to rebalance your personal and professional life and to share that joy and that gratitude with others.
Well, you certainly have. And even from the very first time I spoke to you, that feeling that you have discovered the joy. And, of course, we should mention who your husband is because you found a pretty great guy.
Well, Bill Bratton is probably, without fear of contradiction, most well-known and probably well-thought-of law enforcement professional, or one of them, in the world.
Absolutely.
And he's an extraordinary public figure, and he's a terrific mate.
Well, he was the police commissioner of New York. Then he went to Los Angeles and became the police chief, and then he came back and to clean up New York again, and as a police commissioner, and he's always done such a marvelous job, and I have actually been waiting for his book because I have to have him on this program. I know there's a book in him.
He actually has two books.
Well,
and is
It's the third one I'm waiting for, because I know that, you know, first of all, he's so interesting, and I know that he's particularly interested in military history, and I'm a big military history person, and so I've always, you know, thought, wow, how much he knows about strategy and planning, and all of this comes, I think, probably from a lot of his interest in military history.
I think that's right, and I promised you, Patsy, that when he does this third book, that I will make sure that he spends some time with you, because you have, I think, the trait that I think makes the best people out there, which is curiosity.
That's true. You have to be, someone asked me, well, why do you read so many books? And I realized really just recently that it started as a child, and from being curious, when I would read one book, if I found one word or one mention of a town or a city or something, I would then have to go and learn about that place, and then I'd have to go about it. So my reading has always been really a mystery tour. I always want to find the next thing.
Well, I think that what makes you a great interviewer, just like my beloved Charlie Rose, with whom I have the good fortune to work on CBS This Morning. When Charlie does his Charlie Rose show, and he has done it now for over 25 years, his interviews are handpicked because of his curiosity. And I think that's what sets people like you apart.
Well, thank you. I just love to hear from people about what has motivated them, why they've chosen a certain direction. And with you, of course, the idea that you can follow your dreams. And in my case, with the radio program, you know, I had not even dreamt. So in a way, it's like dreams that you don't even dream can come true, because I didn't know why I read all these books all these years and collected all these books. And as my husband said, you know, I schlepped books all over the world. Why? Until the day that I told him about the radio program. And then he understood it all, because I like to know, and I love to talk to people who are successful. And of course, you are an amazing, as anybody who reads your book, and I'm so happy that it's available now on Kindle, because anyone who reads your book will discover that you are an amazingly talented lawyer and actress. And I just love the segments when you were on Blue Bloods.
Listen, I love doing Blue Bloods. I will tell you, I only get to do it about once a year. But that show is really run the right way. Every person who works in that cast and crew is competent, professional, efficient. They're terrific. And for those of your listeners who would have genuine curiosity as well, yes, Tom Selleck is as good and nice a human being as he is a talented actor. He is very supportive of other actors. He has also been very supportive of the New York Police Department and did some public service announcement work for them. Bridget Moynihan is a sweet, lovely woman who is as beautiful as the sun rising in the morning and just as beautiful inside. And each of these actors want to make you better. So for me, although it might be considered at this stage a busman's holiday, because my true work is really as a legal analyst, is that I always feel that everybody has my back over there. And so you're part of an ensemble. And I think at this stage of my life, as I really look at what do I have left to say, it is about the idea of acknowledgement and gratitude and giving back. And so when I see a place like the cast and crew of Blue Bloods and how they work, what I see and experience are people who are there as part of a team to create a good product. And I think that we can take that image of as women communicate. Women communicate, and I'm moving my hand as I'm talking to you, in a circular way, meaning that we join hands together and we walk around together, that we want to make each other better, and that that sense of community is very important in a world that is highly electronic and that is highly chaotic. So I'm all for how do we create little pockets of communities at home, in our environment, and in our work environment.
Well, you know, as I said, you are an inspiration. You've been an inspiration to me for years. And I forgot to introduce you to Carlene, who is in the studio with me. Her name is Carlene Tausig. And I want you to say hi to Carlene, because what she's done is she was in HR for 15 years, and she just quit her job recently to devote herself full-time to writing. And I think she's an absolutely, she's written some children's books because she wants to encourage children to read. She's an absolutely delightful person. Say hi to Carlene.
I'm happy to say hi, Carlene.
Hi.
And tell you I would be more than happy to go out and buy your book for my two grandchildren.
Oh,
okay.
Lovely.
Well, I will send you the link to her website. You must buy the book. It's just perfect. It will be a wonderful thing. And so when I get off the air, I'll send it you the link. And please go to her website and get it. You'll see some of her other books. And she has another couple other books that I think you will enjoy.
Terrific.
Because I like people. Now, she is an example of what we're talking about today, following your dream. You know, HR was fine to bring in the money and to work, but now she can do the creative side, which is so important.
That's just great. And Carlene, thank you for doing that for everyone else out there.
Thank you. It was a fun book to put together.
Well, you know, I've been really so thrilled that over this past 2 years, and I I've had so many wonderful guests, and of course, one of my guests, Robert Tannenbaum, has become a contributor to Joy on Paper, and he does a regular segment now called Book Buzz, in which he recommends books that people should not forget, and so every few weeks he gives us a recommendation, and so of course, you know Bob, right?
He's terrific. He's an old friend. I'm a big fan of his books, and I was a huge fan of him as a lawyer. He was formidable, and he was a guest of mine from time to time when I was anchoring at Court TV. I couldn't have asked for a better person to be a guest because he really is smart, and he has a lot to share. So I'm actually curious about the books he recommends, so I will continue to follow him by following you.
Okay, well, I'll send you a link to that one also, because it is, he's featured on my webpage and every few weeks he gives us a fantastic recommendation, because he feels so strongly that there are books that should not be forgotten, and particularly books in the legal field and books about a great Americans, people who have made this country great. So he has all of these wonderful recommendations for my listeners, and I am so grateful to him. And as you said, of course, his Butch Karp series is amazing.
It's terrific. I always wanted to play the lead female in some TV series, but now I am not as young as I used to be, and I don't think she has quite grown as old with me as I have.
Well, you would have been terrific. But I still think Tom Selleck should take the judge out in Blue Bloods. I think you have to go on a date with Tom Selleck in the show.
Do you know how many times I have raised that as a possible,
well, you know, I'm gonna...
possible line there? Because the Judge Fowler, very appropriately named, or as my husband says, I do not want to be married to that woman. Judge Fowler does have a foul disposition. She runs a tight courtroom, but I think she's very, very age appropriate as a date for Tom Selleck in Blue Bloods. I keep trying to interest them in that, but I haven't gotten very far.
Well, I have a nice scenario where you're blind dates and neither of you know it, and then then next thing you know, you're on a date and something clicks. And, you know, I think I would just love to click with Tom Selleck.
Well, he's terrific, as I say. He is really just a wonderful human being.
Well, I know.
And a good role model for young men, you know, which I think is also a good thing.
Well, the entire program, I think, is one that encourages the proper attitude towards the police, which we need nowadays. And, of course, you know, I was in many ways sad, you know, when Bill retired. I know that... you know, there comes a time when he's worked so hard over these years to keep the country safe, to keep the cities that he's worked in safe, and it's such a big job. And I'm glad that now he's writing a book and that maybe it's a little less stressful because it's not easy out there for police.
No, it is a little less stressful, and it goes back again to, I think, my message from Fairy Tales Can Come True. In any relationship, intimate relationship with a significant other or a spouse, that you have to have an ability to give and take. And the strongest amongst us, the most headstrong amongst us, have to understand that at sometimes it is their time and at sometimes it is the spouse's time in order to give in a little to be able to support the other. Or, as I have often said, in relationships, the most important thing is for each person to take 100% responsibility, not 50%, 100%. So during the time that Bill has served as police commissioner in New York or police chief in Los Angeles, it really was my job to be there and support him in that his job was more demanding on a 24/7 basis than mine was. There have been times where it switches. If I'm in the throes of covering a big case for CBS and in a prior life for Court TV, he would be the person who would then step back and be supportive of me. So now we are thankfully in a stage where we each have appropriate job stressors, but they're not at the level that they once were, so that we can both give and take. And for the first time since 2002, that's a long time, that's 15 years, for the first time, we really have weekends. I mean, it's like a new phenomenon to me. Most people in life work Monday through Friday, and then they have a weekend. That was never true in the news business, and it was certainly never true in the policing business. And now we have the joy of weekends, which I do think we savor. And so, you know, what I say to young women as well as much older women is that over time, if you're willing to be open, that your life will have ebbs and flows, you will have good times and bad times, and that at some point you deserve, we each deserve, for those of us who have worked so hard, to have the time in our life where sharing the leisure time can become the greatest joy of all. It's an interesting period of life for us.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. Ricky, you know, as I said, you know, for me, these 2 years have been, they've had their ups and downs, but the up thing is that I think that I've been able to help some new and young authors to get out there and to encourage them to write. And of course, for me, the joy of talking to really some of the writers that I only would dream of talking to. And in 2 years now, I think I've talked to at least 100 best-selling authors. And so I'm just so thrilled to talk to, well, I'm thrilled to talk to everybody because I as a matter of fact, one of the things I want to do, I'm going to bring in some readers. I want to bring people in who have read books that have changed their lives, because this is important. I want to share the books that have made an influence on my life, like your book, and make sure that other people, readers, understand that, boy, just reading a book can change your life and can really focus your mind in a new direction. And that's why I think your book is so wonderful.
Thank you so much. And what's so fun for me and so gratifying is that at this stage, I mean, the book came out over a decade ago, that the I still will get emails that go to my website, that I'll get tweets on my Twitter feed where people will tell me at various ages, they could be 22 or they could be 72, where women will tell me that the book makes a difference to them. And it's not that it's my story, it's that there is universality in detail. So the fact that I illustrate my story, I want people to say, oh, yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. That's how I felt. That was my crisis. That was my opportunity. So the joy of having the book for me is the gift that it brings to others.
Well, it's a testament to your talent that the book does have this lasting appeal. And I think it's a book that will continue to be enjoyed by women for many, many years to come, because the problems that women face in life, exactly as you said, the balancing of work and home and self is difficult. And you address that in your book, Fairy Tales Can Come True, How a Driven Woman Changed Her Destiny, which is now available on Kindle, which is fantastic. That's a wonderful thing about the internet. I was telling people that, you know, they can start on Robert Tannenbaum's first book. They can, you know, and read the whole series. And that ability is so wonderful nowadays.
It is. So I confess that I, like when I travel, I like to have both books in my hand and books on my Kindle. Or I have a Kindle app in my iPad, so I can also use it there. And next to my bed, I have books and books. So it's good to have both.
Absolutely. And with me, what I do is I always encourage, you know, for people who are starting a series, like when Robert's books come out, when they first come out, you have to buy it right when it comes out because it's always exciting. But if you start a series at the beginning, it's wonderful if you buy it on Kindle, because then the author gets the money. Because if you buy a secondhand on Amazon, the author doesn't get any money. And I think, you know, for the almost the same price, you can get it on Kindle. And then you know that the money goes to the author.
Very good. You just taught me something I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a reason to have it on Kindle. If it's, you know, you don't want people buying it secondhand if it's not out there, you know, that people are buying it in a book form, Kindle is better because you make all the money. So
good. Okay. We want to support authors.
That's right. Exactly. That's what I want to do. So I just want to thank you again for joining me today. And just make sure the minute that Bill is ready to promote his new book that he's a guest on Joy on Paper. Okay?
You have my total commitment. I'll tell you, Patsy, you are one of the most remarkable women. You have been through so much, and you always have that lilt in your voice, and there you are, supporting others, supporting authors. And I'm thrilled that you support my friend Bob Tannenbaum.
Okay, and Carlene Tausig, and I'm going to send your her webpage address to you when I get off the phone, and you will really enjoy this book called When I Grow Up, I Want to Be. And really from Ricky Kleeman, who has become what she wanted to be, which is fantastic.
Thanks so much, Patsy.
Okay, bye for now. Thanks so much for being on. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
That's all right. Bye, Carlene, too.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Wow. Ricky, somebody special. I'm really grateful to her over the years. She's been very supportive, and she sends me messages, and I'm just so grateful to her. And really, get her book on Kindle. It is inspiring, and as Carlene is here sitting, saying, you know, find a job that you like? Because how many, what percentage of people did you say are unhappy?
Studies vary, but they all show at least 50%
are unhappy with their
job. There was a recent one on LinkedIn that said 80% of people don't like their jobs.
Ew, that's awful.
That's what I think. Ew.
I've never had a job that I didn't, I don't think I've ever had a job that I didn't like, because mostly I've been my own boss. So the thing is, if you're your own boss, you better like your job.
That's for sure.
Because you can't do anything. You can just look at that person in the mirror and say, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Why'd you get me involved in this? But the other jobs that I've had, I think I've mostly had jobs that I've taken for the experience. Because I've wanted to know how to do something. I've wanted to be involved in something. And I think that's a wonderful thing from a writer's point of view. Like if you want to write books about a certain subject, get a job in that area. And, I was one of our local authors, Carol J. Perry. She includes in her book so much about antiques. Well, she worked for a company that did the newsletters and things for antique stores. So, of course, she learned about antiques while she was doing this, just writing up the copy for those antique stores. And so now when she writes the book and she includes stories about the antiques, you really feel they're authentic. She really knows what she's writing about. And that is so much fun in her books. And those are the Witch City Mysteries by Carol J. Perry. Those books are just wonderful reads. And other people, I can think of a certain IRS agent who who's listening, and I know that she brings a lot of her past experience into writing her mystery stories, and that's Rita Moreau. And she has some just wonderful, delightful, cozy mysteries that she's written, and she uses her experience. And so maybe now you're going to write, maybe Carlene's going to write here a mystery story about an HR thing. That there's a lot of potential there. I bet you met some interesting people, huh?
Yes, interesting somebody, people, interesting situations.
Maybe somebody she was doing a background check on, and he didn't want her to find out something. I think we have the makings here of a mystery story, go. Carlene. I'm going to have you back on in a year when you write this.
There you go.
You're going to have a lot of authors have that their background in their books,
yes.
And so there you have an HR person, and HR people are involved in all this background checks. Boy, there's a lot of danger that who knows what murderer might lurk in that chair opposite you, right?
Yes,
oh,
yes.
This is going to be we have a premise. Okay, so meanwhile, I want to thank everyone for being on today. I'm going to start right away by saying thank you to Big Ed, because you know what? Big Ed always salutes me when I say that, and I just love that, because when my boys, when they were young, they used to say I would be a wonderful drill instructor, and I always did like people saluting, and I wanted to be saluted, and I think that's a good idea. Maybe I'll have my guests come in and say, okay, I'm going to wear a hat, and they have to salute me. I think that's so cool. I love when Ed does that. So meanwhile, everybody, find your joy and share it and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Write. In a year, you'll have 365-page novels. Think about that. Or at least read a book. But hopefully it won't take you a page a day to read a book, so that you can catch up to me, because I don't think very many people can catch up to me. I've read 10,000 books, but do try. And have a fun time. And go to Carlene's website, which is carlenet.com. And Ricky Kleeman's going to be going there. So if she's going to buy this book, you have to buy this book. When I Grow Up, I Want to Be. Bye for now.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay.